Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, world. Welcome once again to Tuesday Talk with Key West Lou. I am your host, Louis Patron. It's good to be back for another week, for another show. This has been a hell of a week. Big things have happened worldwide. And one of the things I want to point out right up front is that our media, our newspapers, our TV stations, our radio stations, sometimes don't report important things, big things that way. They gloss over them and it becomes yesterday's news. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the election in Greece that was held on this past Sunday, one of the most important events in the history of the world in the year 2015, because the election in Greece can be a tipping stone to all kinds of problems, economic and physical in the rest of Europe. What happened in Greece on Sunday? Well, the Greeks went and they elected a radical left party called the Syriza Party to head the government. Syriza is an acronym for Coalition of the Radical Left. These are not just liberals. These are people to the extreme left that they become a danger. Anything for power to the extreme. Reasonableness does not apply. They are more dangerous than the religious right in our country. They are further to the left than the religious right is to the right. That is how far they are out. In the election, they have a new leader, by the way. He's 40 years old. He comes out of nowhere. He runs the party. He promises the world, as I will spell out for you. His name's Alexis Tsipras. And the people bought him and gave him the right to rule the country. They won 149 out of 300 seats. That's big in the parliament. They need 151 to control. They made a deal. This is coalition government with a small Greek, I think it's called the Greek Independent Greek Party, to give them a couple more seats. And so they have a controlling coalition government. One of the biggest votes ever, by the way, for a political party is the one that this Syriza party got on Sunday. And it's no wonder. Things are bad in Greece. I've been telling you, I've spent 5 months in the last 3 years in Greece. Things are bad over there. Things have been bad. I can remember 3 years ago, I spoke of poverty like I had not seen. Not homeless. I'm talking about for real poverty. People saying, please, with their hands out, begging. Stores closed, storefronts on the commercial streets, the primary commercial streets, boarded up, closed down. People without jobs. Unemployment's at 25%. 50% of the youth between 18 and 30 years of age are without jobs. Most are college graduates. 50% of the young people. They have been under tremendous austerity because they borrowed money, like most people did with the mortgage debacle that occurred here in the United States in 2008. They borrowed too much money, more money than they needed. The Euro Union was happy to loan it to them, made it easy. Germany was the big shot in the Euro Union, still is. Germany had a lot of money and invested a lot of money by loaning it to countries that couldn't pay it back at high interest rates and with stiff repayment plans that could not be met under any circumstance. Now, let me tell you how bad things are there. It's been recently reported that many women are desperate for work. And what are they doing to get work? Because there's no jobs. You know, let me digress for a second. There is no food, all right? There is no food. People do not have the money to buy food, but it doesn't make any difference because the farmers don't have the money to grow the food. People weren't buying their food because they couldn't afford it. They couldn't grow it anymore. It's a lose-lose situation. Anyhow, women, married, children are desperate for work. They're begging for work because they want to put food on the table. And where do you think they're looking for work? In brothels, in bordellas, in the whorehouses of Greece, because prostitution is legal in Greece. And if they can get a job in the brothels, they're going to make a buck, and they'll be able to put food on the table. The only problem for these women is that the Greek law prohibits married women from working in whorehouses and brothels. And so what are these ladies doing? Because they're not giving up the ship. They're walking the streets for the first time in their life, offering their personal wares. A disgrace. I'll tell you even how much worse it is. 3 years ago, I reported on this. I talked about it on my television show. I wrote in my blog about it. Many women have come to Greece running from the Balkan countries and everything else over the years. Big prostitution business, because it's legal. And it got bigger. And the going rate, I guess, was anywhere from 40 euros to 100 euros a day. Today in Greece, and for the last 2 years, what you got for 40 to 100 euros 3 years ago, you get for 10 euros. That's 8 or 10 bucks American money. You get the same treatment, the same length of time, the same service. In fact, things are so desperate that the brothels are offering one price, like 20 euros, for all day, and as many women as a man would want. That's how bad things are in Greece. We come to the new prime minister, Alexis Tsipras. I don't know if I pronounced his name correctly. He promised the world. This guy is no different than Hitler was in the early 1930s when he took over the German government. They were depressed economically. They were depressed emotionally, too. And just as the Greeks are in both instances. And Hitler promised the world, and this guy's promising the world. Now, I'm not saying he's Hitler, or I'm saying he's promising the world as Hitler did, because they had their own Nazi party in Greece, which is another issue. Anyhow, he says, here's what we're going to do. This was his platform. Listen to me, you're not going to believe it. Even the most liberal of Democratic candidates in the United States do not promise this. He promised. He said, hey, I'm going to repudiate the harsh terms of the bailout, of the money we got from the Euro Union. And you know how it's going to work? He said, they're either going to accept what I want, which will probably be we're going to pay half of what we owe you. They owe 240 billion plus interest over several years, 240 billion euros. Or, he says, we'll pay them nothing. Because what are they going to do? Is the Euro Union, Germany, going to sue Greece and Greece? That's the only place they can enforce a judgment. Of course not. No Greek court's going to entertain it. And the only alternative, they got to go to war to collect their money. Would Germany go to war to collect their money? I don't know. But over in Europe, things are different than they are here. The feelings run deep. The animosity runs deep between Greeks and Germans, especially the Greek people, when they're getting screwed economically by Germany for the last several years. It comes back to them right away. They remember World War II. They remember how the Nazis subjected them for several years. They occupied their country, controlled their people, etc. So he's going to either give up, you're not going to pay the bailout, or he's going to pay half of it. Take what you want. If not, you get nothing. He's going to introduce a program of social spending. And here's what he's going to give the people. Free electricity. Did you hear me? Free electricity. Think of your power bills in this country. Free electricity and food for some people who need it, several hundred people. He's going to give free medical care to the uninsured. Most are uninsured in Greece. Free medical care. He's going to boost the minimum wage. He's going to, there was a time 2 years ago where Germany insisted, the Euro Union was Germany, is Germany. Germany insisted that in order, as part of the austerity program, civil service employees in Greece, public employees, they had to fire a big number of them or Germany wouldn't give them the money. The Euro Union would not give them money to continue on, would not loan them money. And Greece did it. This government says we're going to hire all these people back as part of the new government. This is terrific. They've had property tax increases, taxes on real property, since 2008. As part of this austerity program, the Euro Union, Germany insisted on it. Taxes went up and up and up. People couldn't afford to pay taxes. They're losing their homes. He is going to give everybody back all the money they paid in the increased taxes since 2008. This guy is terrific. His country has no money, but this is what he's going to do. And he may accomplish it. Who knows? Now, I want to stay with Greece for another moment, if I may. And I want to compare, I want to talk about the Koch brothers. We all know the Koch brothers. They're very wealthy. They're prone to be, they are Republicans. They have given millions of dollars to support Republican candidates and Republican programs. They're probably the biggest influence dollar-wise in American politics, which isn't good, the kind of money they give. Now, in the last 3 years, the combined wealth of the two brothers has increased by $33 billion. In 3 years, their combined wealth increased $33 billion. While at the same time in the United States, we now have 1,065,000 homeless school children. 1,065,000 homeless school children. That's the highest number ever. We have over 1 million children living in cardboard boxes, in abandoned cars, in mangroves, in woods, wherever they can find shelter. And this is where they live with their mother and father, or mother or father. Some may be living alone. This is an absolute disgrace for the land of many in the United States. But at the same time, the Koch brothers are making $33 billion extra in the last 3 years. We got 1,065,000 homeless children, okay, living in poverty. 45.3 million people are in poverty in the United States. 45.3 million people. The median income, this is cool. The median income of, we're talking 1%, 99% now. The median income of the 99% since 2007 has dropped 8%. In other words, since 2007, those that aren't billionaires, et cetera, their income has dropped 8%. While the Koch brothers, boy, theirs increased $33 billion. But we got 45 million people whose whatever they got went down 8%. The reason I give you this comparison, the reason I offer it to you for your consideration, is that I believe the United States is a developing Greece. We've got problems. We've got too many people out of work. Too many people can't get jobs. The banks have become all powerful and are killing people. You know, there are problems here. There are problems here. We got everyone fighting over medical care. We got too many poor people. We got homeless people. They are our beggars. Things aren't good here. And I don't think things have been worse except in 1929. Maybe they're worse now. I don't know. But I think we are becoming, we are developing into a Greece. And that proves that what the Koch brothers are doing isn't the right thing for this country. They may think it's right. I think they're doing it for their corporate interests, to make more money, to make a profit, to meet the bottom line. But whatever they're doing, and the people like them, the people like them, the bankers and the corporations, are not doing good for the United States. Now I want to talk for a moment or two about global warming. Global warming. Very simple. The big blizzard. It's in Boston tonight. They got, I guess, two and a half feet of snow already, and it's going to run its way up to Maine. It's going to have heavy loads of snow between Boston and Maine. It did not hit New York City as was projected, as was anticipated. It was 50 miles off the coast. Thank God. So New York did not get hit. What am I talking about? We have more and more big snowstorms. We have more and more hurricanes. Whoever expected Sandy in New Jersey? You get a hurricane in New Jersey at the seashore. These disasters, natural disasters are occurring more and more, and they're in strange places, the way what's happening. Like they're saying this snow thing, this cold belt, is the worst ever in history. Where did it come from? Where did all these hurricanes come from? These tropical storms, they're coming from global warming. And most of the scientists in this country believe they're coming from global warming. And most of the scientists worldwide believe they're coming from global warming. The only scientists that don't believe it are those that are working for the corporations that would be in trouble if we had global warming, because they'd have to retool and spend some money. And they're only on the side of corporate America because they're getting paid to render opinion. They are getting paid to render an opinion, and obviously they're going to render an opinion that is favorable to the corporate interests. Whereas the other scientists are saying this is a problem, none of them are getting paid. Speaks for itself. I don't know when we're going to learn that we have this corporate problem. We have a corporate problem, this global warming problem. Which brings me to another issue involving global warming. I recently read an article, quite interesting, and it said, in effect, that islands, and Key West is an islands are in danger of drowning. In other words, the water is going to sweep over some islands. And why? They say because of global warming. Now, they knew that this was coming in the last several years, and they know it's coming. Because, you know, as these chunks of ice break off in Antarctica every year and they move north to warmer waters and they melt, it increases the water. In other words, the height of the water goes up maybe an eighth of an inch, a half an inch. We are told that the waters in this area, in the southern Florida Caribbean area, have gone up 8%. Have increased in height by eight inches over the past several years. Not enough for us to recognize it yet, but that's what the professionals say, okay? Now, they've come to the conclusion, the people who are studying this, that the islands can't be saved. You can only put up so many sandbags, and it's just not financially feasible. And one of the problems we have, by the way, with the islands that are in danger of drowning, and I want my friends in Key West to listen to this, is that the roads, when it rains, flood with salt water from the drains. The roads flood with salt water from the drains. If we have 10 minutes of solid rain, our streets, many of them are flooded. One of our major intersections downtown is good for a foot to 2 feet of water. Some people kayak over this stuff in certain areas. Other people go out in their bathing suits and swim. Some of the tourists, they think it's crazy. It's the salt water coming back through the drains. And they're saying, we just can't deal with this. We can't replace all the drains. We don't know how to get rid of all this. So many sandbags, et cetera. So now what they're doing, and they're not making a big noise about it, but here's what they're saying. Better to let the island sink. Let them go down. Let them be covered with water. That will be much cheaper, much, much cheaper than if we tried to save them. And we're not sure we can save them. So we're going to have to resettle people in other countries. It's like, you know, we're going to send the Mexican parents home who have been here 30, 40 years. It's the same thing. It's very uncomfortable, and I don't think it would work, but they're going to send the people back to other countries. To other countries to live in the hopes of saving money, and you got a screwed up society all the way around because of global warming. I'm going to go to the Middle East now. The Middle East. I think these people are crazy. I keep saying it. I know many of you agree. I don't know if you like the way or you agree with the way I present it, but I think the people in the Middle East, the Muslims, most of them are nuts. I mean, they live in a different world. They think we're crazy. Believe me, you go over there, I'm sure they say these Americans, they're nuts. That's why they're trying to hurt us. So it's a back and forth thing. they're crazy. We should leave them alone. They should leave us alone. But we're not. I want to give you an example of how bad things are, how they think, which is so contrary to what you and I think. Number one, I've never been happy with Saudi Arabia for two reasons. One, they gave us $4 a gallon gasoline. These are our friends, remember. We safeguard them with our soldiers, our Navy, and our Air Force because they can't safeguard themselves over there. We safeguard them. We preserve their freedom for them. And what do they give us? $4 a gallon gasoline. But even worse, think of 9/11. 16 of the 19 terrorists involved in the World Trade Center bombing, airplane bombings, in effect, were Saudi Arabian citizens. And nothing's ever been talked about to any degree about that or investigated. Nobody denies it was 16 out of 19, but nobody says where they come from. Was there an influence out of Saudi Arabia? It is thought by many that Saudi Arabia had a hand in what happened in 9/11. Don't ask me why, but that's out there if you read on this stuff. Now, here's an example of how they think. It snows in part of Saudi Arabia. This I did not know because I thought it was so hot over there. That I see sand. That's all I see is sand dunes, except where man put in a lake or a river. But no, there is an upland area in the Tabuk, T-A-B-U-K, province. This is near the Saudi border with Jordan. The last 3 years, global warming, my friends, they have had unusually cold winds and for the first time, snow. Well, what's happening? The people over there in this area are building snowmen. I built them when I was a child, so did you. I built them with snowmen with my children. I built snowmen with my grandchildren, and so did you. Many of you have. We've all seen snowmen or built them. Well, a cleric, a religious person, said snowmen are anti-Islamic. Right in this Tabuk province, he said, snowmen are anti-Islamic. His name is Sheikh Mohammed Salik al-Muzadid, if I'm pronouncing it correctly. And he said, and I quote, "It is not permitted to make a statue out of snow, even by a way of play or fuss. It is not permitted to make a statue out of snow, even by way of play or fuss." And fuss. The Islamic law says, the Quran, you cannot create an image of a human being. Now, we can't create an image in my religion, I'm a Catholic, of God. Bear no false images against me. I don't know what their Quran says, but it's being interpreted that you cannot create an image of a human being. It's sinful. And the cleric, he has a lot of supporters over there. I mean, he's got people supporting him in this because the people there, who are very, very religious, and I can understand that Muslims generally are, they say that building a snowman is imitating the infidels, and promotes, listen to this, lustiness and eroticism, Well, I got to tell you something. I have yet to meet the snowman or snow lady that turned me on, and I think you would say the same thing, and I say with tongue in cheek. Now I want to go to ISIS. This is a quickie, but this is interesting. We're at war with ISIS. We're committed to eliminating ISIS. We should be. They're committed to eliminating us. So we got a war of wars over there. But we have spent thus far, and these numbers came out this past Friday, we have spent $1 billion fighting ISIS in the Middle East. $1 billion fighting ISIS. Now, when you have a war, you want to take back your territory because they took a lot of territory over there in the Middle East. Well, the $1 billion, we have only recovered 1% of the territory that ISIS took. We have only retaken 1% of the territory they took, and that cost us $1 billion. we're going to go broke over there. Just like Russia went broke with Afghanistan, we are going to go broke in the Middle East. And that helped to bring the Russian government down, if you recall. All right, now I want to talk about policemen do stupid things. Not all the time, but sometimes. Not all of them, but a handful. But a rotten apple affects the whole basket. You recall 2 years ago on the TV show in one of my writings, I talked about the little boy somewhere in this country, 3 years old. He was living in his grandmother's house with his mother. Very good house, nice neighborhood. She's at the end of a cul-de-sac. The mother and daughter, it's the afternoon, are standing on the lawn, front lawn. The little boy's standing in the driveway. He's 3 years old. He had just been toilet trained. He had to pee. He pulled his pants down and peed on the driveway. Who thinks anything of that? A police officer was sitting nearby in a car. He arrested the mother, gave the mother a ticket for the public urination of the son. Stupid. There was a furor. The next day, of course, the chief went to the house and apologized. Well, this is the type of thing that happens quite a bit. Now we're in Marietta, Georgia this past week, and Madison Turner's his name. He was at a McDonald's or a Burger King or something, and he bought a double quarter pounder with cheese. He had a double quarter pounder cheeseburger. And when he left, he was eating. He's driving and eating the cheeseburger. Nothing erratic about his driving, but a police officer pulled him over and gave him a ticket for eating while driving. Now, how many of us stop at McDonald's or somewhere? I do it. When I'm hungry and I haven't had dinner and I've been downtown having fun, I stop at McDonald's on the way home for a couple of cheeseburger and a bag of fries, and I have eaten the whole thing before I even get to my house. This is common. How many of us drink coffee in our cars? Well, and the reason is they got a law in Georgia. This is the first time anybody interpreted it like this police officer, and the law says drivers cannot engage in actions that distract them from operating a vehicle safely. And he takes the position, the police officer, that if you're eating a cheeseburger, you are distracted from driving your vehicle safely. Well, Madison Turner says, up yours. He's hired a lawyer and he's fighting the case. The police department will not comment. It looks like they're going to fight this one to the bitter end. All right, where are we now? I want to see what the time is that I've got left here. Citigroup. Citigroup has a Washington influence. They're a mega bank. They're one of the ones that's responsible for 2008 and all these mortgage foreclosures. And with the bailout, they got the biggest taxpayer bailout. Now, they don't like the regulations that have been imposed upon them since 2008. So they've written some legislation to deregulate the banks, including Citigroup. And they have gotten the President Obama to lobby for its passage, a bill to deregulate banks. Obama to lobby for its passage, and they expect to move it through the Congress in 1 week for an upvote, which will be favorable. This should not be this way. We go months and years trying to get legislation passed to put food on the table for somebody, to raise the minimum wage. And what's happening here? Citigroup can get a bill through in a couple of weeks. Why? They own everybody politically. They own Congress. We know that. And this is not healthy. All right, that's the show for this week. I appreciate you joining me. I hope you enjoyed the show. You found it informative. I look forward to being with you again next week. I know most of you listen to the show archived or on Facebook or YouTube later in the week. I appreciate having your attention also. Remember, I wrote a book, The World Upside Down. Buy my book, Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, The World Upside Down by Louis Patron, Key West Lou. If you like this show, you'll like my book. If you don't like my show, don't buy the book. You will not like it. Again, I thank you very much for joining me, and may the rest of your evening be a good one.